everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 2, entitled The Well. It was written by Matthew Negrid and directed by Greg Nicotero, who are both heavily involved in this series.
Big time.
We just saw Greg Nicotero this past weekend at Walker Stalker Con.
Right.
That was pretty cool seeing him on stage.
It was awesome. Yeah.
He seems very in chill mode, very relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
He had the hair flowing. He was very, very chill.
Very comic book-like.
Yes, very comic book-like. All right, so this is our full recap. We appreciate you guys listening. Gary, before we get into everything, what did you think overall of this episode?
You know, I thought it was a great episode, but you knew what I was going to say. You know, I think they're all great.
Yeah.
But I just think this was a great episode. It was a nice, calm, chill down from the last episode. But it's still scary. Like I said in the Instacast, we see Negan's reach. And his reach is far. We don't know how far yet, but it's far. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, it's like, how many groups are you screwing over? Like, how many towns? Like, how far is your reach? Are you going, is this past Virginia? Does he have anything in Georgia at this point? Does, like, where is all these people? You know, like, how far does his group travel to intimidate other groups?
Right.
So I'm curious about that. And it just makes the all, like, it all more exciting to finally see the one day when Negan's finally, like, put down. Because that has to happen, of course.
Well, it might be exciting. But me and Nicole went to the Walker Stalker Con, and we have that up already. One thing that Jeffrey and Dee Morgan said that was, had my mind open was, we're going to get the Negan story this season. So we might fall in love with Negan. We might see his uprise and be like, oh, man, he dealt with that BS. You know, it's good that he's coming up like this. But right now, we don't care two cents about him. We don't care about him.
I'm going to have to agree and disagree with you just a little bit, because even with, if we take the Terminus people, and they gave us a flashback sequence of them showing how they were abused and the mother was raped and such, and they were the victims. And what did they say? Like, I forgot what they said. Well, they're not going to be, I forgot what their expression was. But whatever it was, yeah. They didn't want to be that anymore.
They didn't want to be victims.
Yes. And I still did not think, oh, okay, now I know what they're going through.
They were eating people.
Yeah. Negan might as well be eating people. What's one evil versus another evil?
I don't know. Eating people, that's just kind of far out.
Man, I don't even want to think about it. I was going to say, I'd rather be eaten than bashed to death, but that's just disgusting.
I don't want to be either. I don't care.
Yeah, but at least your meat's not getting wasted if they're eating you.
Crazy. Like,
don't waste the food, man. I don't know, but we'll see. All right, so we're going to do our likes, our dislikes, listener letters, an award, and prediction. And I'm in a much better mood than I was last week when we did our full recap and even last week's instant cast. The tears are dried.
Yeah.
And it was dark. So I'm okay with it being a slower episode. I'm okay with all of Morgan's, talking but not really saying exactly what he should be saying.
His philosophy.
Yeah, that whole philosophy talk, like doing all that, like just like who talks the way he talks, I don't know anyone that deep, I guess. I don't know, because I don't hear anyone ever talk that way in real life.
We need deeper friends.
Yeah, deeper friends. It's just sitting here spitting knowledge to us or whatever. All right, so first on our likes list is Morgan when he was marking the tree and he was marking the mailbox. I really liked that because, I don't know, in a way I liked it, and it almost made my dislike list only because I think he told them. He's like, marking everywhere we go. Like, dude, if you did it because you don't trust them, why'd you tell them? But I think he didn't do it because he didn't trust them.
He didn't do it. It wasn't trust reasons.
It was to find his way
right
back.
I love that scene because I knew Morgan wanted to go back home. So for a long time, I thought Morgan didn't want no part of Rick's group. Don't want no part of, I'm sorry, our group. So it was a breath of fresh air to know that this is what he wanted to get back to. That he wasn't going with them to stay. Well, at the time, that's what I thought.
Right.
But I think differently now.
Yeah. He was going with them to help Carol, to get Carol the help she needs.
Right. So by him marking, we knew that he wanted to return. He wanted to come back.
Next, we have Carol seeing the faces of the people, like how they were before they died, when it was showing the walkers. And then, like, right as they were dying, it was showing, like, them pre-walker, just like as a human.
Actually, believe it or not, I thought these were the best scenes of the show.
Yes. I love this whole, like, that first five, maybe 6 minute or whatever, that opening scene of the episode. I love that. Even the walkers, like, I hardly ever pay attention to the walkers. Maybe when I first started watching, I paid attention to the walkers. But now that the humans are the threat, I really don't pay attention to, like, the detail of the makeup of the walkers. However, this episode I did, and I was like, whoa, they are, like, they did really good job. Like, they went all in with these walkers because, like, they one do. Had, like, a web, like, webs all over him or her. And then, like, when they killed one, one's, like, face came off. It was just gross. It was, like, it was good, though. It's, like, I think we take for granted how much work goes into doing all this. And just seeing it, like, I guess
right.
nothing else was distracting me. Like, no bad humans were around to distract me from the walkers. So I could pay attention to the actual walkers. And I was like, wow, they did a really good job with all this.
And just for her to see the normalcy, I thought she was about to have a breakthrough. To think that, man, what are we doing? This is wrong. But then I realized she was just high.
Oh, you talking about Carol?
Yeah. It was just the meds.
I think I have something down on my dislikes. I'm going to have to go through the notes. That there. I mean, I like that scene, but there was something there that Carol... Yeah, I do have something. And I'll talk about it later as far as with Carol in that scene. But for the most part, I love the scene, just seeing the walkers and how they were. You know, the old lady, right. And then now she's an old walker. That's just kind of cool.
It was.
Next is the kingdom. Just the kingdom as a whole. It was a very nice town. And to me, it's not even like a nice town like, oh, zombie apocalypse nice. It was just like, oh, if you want just a peaceful living, no electronics and no technology and all that stuff. Like, I could see myself going there and just being at Zen with my, you know.
Right.
It was just, you know,
before I seen the king, mm-hmm. I felt the same way you feel. I was like, this is a nice town.
Right.
You see them growing it or planting their crops. Everybody's working together. People walking, holding hands.
Yeah, it's a it's a real community.
It was great.
It was great. I was like, I like this. I like this place.
I seen the king and everything about that town changed to me.
Really?
Right.
So you don't like Ezekiel?
Oh, I love him now. But when I first seen them, like I said before, I felt like Carol. I'm like, what is this shit? What is this joke? Like, this guy's on the center stage, sounding like a Shakespeare play.
Right. He said he did theater, so.
Like, just, well, we learned that later.
Right.
But that didn't make any sense because it's a zombie apocalypse don't mean it's not 2000 and, like, what is it, 2014,
15? It's probably, like, 2013. 2012, maybe.
Right. So I'm like, what is this?
See, I almost had the opposite effect. Like, when we first watched it Sunday night, I loved Ezekiel. I was like, oh, I love everything about Ezekiel. And I guess I was just in the episode. And then today, as we wrote our notes down, like, some of the stuff he was saying. And in the end, I still do like him. But I can see how first glance people would not like him. Because just hearing what he was saying, I was like, what the hell? Did I not notice this Sunday? Like, what is he talking about? You know?
He had you in a trance.
Yeah, he had me in a trance first watch. But second watch, not I'm me. Like...
not me.
Now, I will tell you who I do like, who made it next on our likes list, which is Ezekiel's hype man, Jerry.
His hype man was awesome.
Oh, my! I did not notice Jerry. I did not pay any attention to Jerry first watch.
Yo, how can you not?
I don't know. Like, I completely ignored him the first time. And then this time, I'm like, what did you just say? Like, I'm just dying laughing at every little thing he says. So I'm like, wait, what did he just say? Like,
right.
He's super funny. I love him. When he gave the deuces, he's like, I'm in Earwatch and just everything he was saying. You know, I just loved it.
Like, his hype man was just off script. He was just there just to hype him up.
Even Ezekiel sometimes looking like, dude, chill out. You gone too far, you know? Take it down a notch.
Right.
Carol's good girl act. I thought that was cool, even though Shiva wasn't fooled.
Like we said last season, is this an act or is this Carol? Like, which one is an act?
I'm going to say it's an act, but I'm also going to say that it some of it may be from a true place. You know, when we met Carol in season one, I'm not going to say she was exactly this way, but she definitely was more, you know, Mary Poppins-esque than right. she is now. So some of it, I think, is from a real place, but so most you think of it this is an act.
Do you think this is a survivor's technique? Like, this is how she survived with her husband, and this is how she feels she needs to survive with the rest of the world.
That's good. That is good, because she was a victim of domestic violence, and she probably definitely never talked back to her husband. Was her husband's name? Was his name Gary? I swear it was.
Come on now.
No, I'm trying to think of her husband's name. I swear it was like Gary. It could have been Matt.
It could have been Matt. Gary, Matt.
Something tells me it was like Gary.
How do you go from Gary to Matt?
I don't know. Those two names are in my head. Gary or Barry. It seems like it ended with a Y or something.
Matt doesn't end with a Y.
I know. But something Matt came in my head too.
Maddie.
No. Gary. Shit. I don't know.
You know, and now that you say that, her husband, his name might have been Gary.
I swear it was.
Or Barry. Or Jerry.
No.
You had to look. You had a computer in front of you. Okay, look it up.
Let me look it up. Oh, shit, I'm way off. It was Ed.
What the hell? His name was Ed?
Yeah, it was Ed. Super off. Yeah, now that I see it, it all comes back to me, so.
You have Gary in my head?
Yeah, I don't know. Gary was
Gary, Matt.
I don't know. For some reason, Gary was in my head for a second. Yeah, it was Ed. There we go. All right, so what were we saying?
We were saying, is this a survivor technique? Or is this her, this Carol, in general, this period?
It's definitely a little, well, I was going to say, it's definitely a survivor's technique.
Well, I don't want to say a survivor's technique or Carol in general. Well, yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. Because a survivor technique or an act is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. I would say it's survivor's technique. All right, Carol stealing the weapons. Did you notice that when she was stealing her wheelchair?
I noticed.
Did she also steal chocolate? Like, something was over there, like, in a foil, it looked like.
She stole a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Blankets, clothes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but when she walked past those two military-type guys, or the two whatever guys, she took the knife, and then she took something else, and I thought it was, like, chocolate or something weird. It was, like, in foil. It might have been another weapon, but either way, I liked it.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right, so as I mentioned, Morgan and Ezekiel, they both were having some, like, deep conversations. But one thing they said that I liked, and I might be reading too much into it, you can go ahead and tell me if I am. But Morgan's like, you know, they were talking about how Morgan killed the Saviors.
Right.
And Morgan's like, is that why you want me here? So I can do it again if I have to. And Ezekiel says, no, quite the opposite.
That's another one that I didn't just like, I loved. I don't fully understand it, or I guess I'm not, what is it, philosophical as King Ezekiel. But I think that they're helping each other. They finally found likes. Like, we're just alike. I can't fight like you, or, you know, I'm not as philosophical as you, but we're both on the same page, and we both could have this understanding. And what is Morgan saying? All life is precious. All life is precious. I think they both believe the same thing. And I think King Ezekiel is glad to find someone that believes the same way he does. And vice versa.
Yeah, I think I'm interpreting it as that King Ezekiel is like, okay, I know he can kill, but that's not his first objective. His objective is not to always just shoot and ask questions later. So I think that's what a King Ezekiel meant by that. But, like, no, quite the opposite. Like, I don't want you to necessarily have to kill, but I saw how you, I don't know if this at this point he saw, he they already showed Morgan using his staff. But
right.
He shows that he's skillful and there's other ways to take someone down without having to kill him.
Damn. That's doper than what I said. I agree with you.
Going next to kind of the opposite of what we just said.
Here we go.
Next on our likes list is when Morgan was talking to young Ben And Ben was asking him, like, hey, did you write that note in the book? You know, talking about, like, not killing and whatever the fighting technique that they do.
Right.
Is called, I guess it means to not kill as well. This little boy, he knows everything. He did say he reads a lot. So one thing Morgan says to him, which I liked, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but he says, sometimes we change our minds. And I took this as, he said more than that, but he was like, you know, I've been kind of getting confused or, you know, working through that or working through what I want. And I thought I was there. And when he said, I thought I was there, we know where he thought he was. He was at that no killing zone.
Right. He relapsed.
But he's like, sometimes we change our minds, which made me think that we're not going to see the Morgan anymore that says all life. Well, we're still going to see that Morgan that says all life is precious. But at this point, it's not going to be to the point where it was with the wolf. Like, no, I will not kill you. I don't care if you beat me down. I don't care if you killed all my friends. Like, we're not going to see that Morgan anymore. I think he's ready to kill if he has to.
Right.
Next on the list of likes, when they said people, or Ezekiel said, people who feel safe are less dangerous and more productive. He was saying that to Carol. And I liked it because I agree with it, like, in real life.
True.
You know, I think it's true.
Right.
If people knew, I mean, if we knew the end of the world was about to happen, it would be crazy town outside.
Or just think about a day-to-day job. If you feel secure and comfortable in your job, then you're more likely to produce.
Yes, that's true. So it can go into different things, but I liked when he said that, and I understand where he's saying he has to keep the people to feel safe and everything. Part of me, though, seeing everything that happened with Alexandria when the wolves came, I don't think you have to have your people on high alert. Like, oh my gosh, you don't have to tell them every single thing. Like, it's like us in the United States. Like, we don't know every single thing, but we do know there are bad people out there.
Right.
You know? So I think them training people, not just Ben, them training people and letting them know, like, hey, you guys, we just want to be safe. We want to make sure everyone's cross-trained, everyone's aware. Do we have fire drills? Do we have a safety point? You know, what to happen? What will happen in case of emergency?
Right.
I don't want it to be your guys' first time picking up a weapon if someone decides to. Or they don't even have to use people as an example. They can just say, what if a herd of walkers come? You know, something.
When we were talking about earlier, my first thoughts of Ezekiel, and I said, I felt like Carol. But now, you know, my later thoughts are, I appreciate what he's doing. Like, everybody needs something to believe in, period. That what makes the world go around. If there was nothing to believe in, we can't believe we could do it. Another thing, why not do that shit? I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse. Why not you just rock out like it's like the 1800s something? Why? So I kind of feel what he's doing. At first, I was like, this is weird. But like, if I had to start all over again, why not just do something that I want to do? And this is probably something he always wanted to do. Like, okay, I was extra good in these plays, so this is the character I want to play.
Right.
So why not? And so I love it. I love the character. I love everything about it. And I love what he's doing for the community.
Yeah, when you said why not do what he always wanted to do, I think I brought up this show before, Last Man on Earth. It's a comedy, but it's right. About the end of the world. And it's just so funny, the things, like, sometimes the cars you see them drive or the people's house that you see them live in. And it's like crazy stuff that they would never have been able to do in their normal life. But it's like, hey, well, it's the end of the world and we're the only people left on the world in the world. So why not drive a car from like Back to the Future or, you know, wear these crazy boots? So I love that show because it's like the total opposite of The Walking Dead. But
it is the total opposite, but it's in the same category. They're the last people on the earth. And right. Walking Dead is the zombie apocalypse. Why not?
Right.
I mean, if I could do it all over again, yeah, I'll be Michael Jackson. I'll be Mike.
Right. All right. He said, fake it till you make it. I like that because it's a very common saying and it still holds true even in the apocalypse.
Right.
I liked it.
I mean, why not?
And then the last thing on our list of likes, and you might have a little more to add, and this is one actually you pointed out to me that I didn't even notice at first. And then I was like, oh, it makes sense. Which is Morgan, after he puts Carol away or sends her off to her new home, he puts down the mailbox, like the mailbox notification thing that he put up when they first went there.
Right.
And go ahead and talk about what you think this signifies and what that may show that we can see to come.
Well, when the episode started, he was marking everything and he was trying to get back home. By him putting that back down, well, first of all, by him moving Carol into that home and by him putting it back down, I'm thinking they are home now. Because Ezekiel told Carol, like, you don't have to be here. You could be here and not be here at the same time. And that's kind of saying that even though you're not inside our gates, you're right outside our gates where we still could protect you.
Right.
So you're with us. This is somewhere where we travel every day. By Morgan putting that back down, the mailbox, the little flag, to me, and, you know, I don't know if this is true. I'm just speculating. I'm guessing. I'm thinking now they're home. Morgan and Carol are with people like Morgan and Carol. And I'm not talking about killer Carol. I'm talking about the Carol that Carol wanted to be.
The new Carol, yeah. And I'm going to have to agree with you there. I think so. I think Morgan and Carol both know that, you know, as much as they don't want to kill, it's kind of, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So, but they're at least with people who want to take other measures before going right to the route of killing. Whereas Rick and them, Rick, you know, he's not taking chances anymore. He's killing.
Well, he wasn't taking chances anymore.
Yeah, we don't know Rick slash don't know the new Rick what anymore. He's up to. But we do know that this is the they want to live a simple life. And although Carol doesn't know that they're giving food to the saviors, Morgan does. And I think Morgan's okay with that if that is what keeps peace.
Right.
Whereas Rick and them, of course, they, you know, before what happened in the season finale and season premiere, they would have been like, hell no, we're not giving them food. I don't know how they're going to be now, but Morgan's okay with that because that's what keeps the peace. And I think that's what makes him feel like he's at home. So I really enjoyed that.
Right. And if you think about it, it's no food off their table. Because in the kingdom, they grow their own food. They're going out in the city getting wild pigs. That's like a 10 hours out of a 40-hour work week.
I was going to say, look at it like taxes, you know?
Right.
You can't miss the taxes because you never had it.
Or look at it like a hobby. Like, you know, I never liked going to the city to get pigs. But, you know, since I have to now, I got to make a game out of it. I don't know.
All right. And now for our dislikes. I Gary's already looking at me like, what the hell do you have on this list? Yeah. So when Carol ran away at the beginning, like when the walkers were coming and she like ran and then they saved her again, my thought was like, why are you running so far away?
She was delusional.
She ran like a block. I was like, where is she going?
You know, think about it, she was asleep at the time. I mean, I said medicated earlier, but really she lost a lot of blood. So she wasn't in her right state of mind. So if you wake up and see some strange stuff going on.
It's not that strange anymore. It's a zombie apocalypse, you know?
I mean, to her, that could have all been a dream.
Yeah.
But when you wake up and see that going on, I mean, you got to get the hell on.
All right. Carol calling the kingdom a circus. She said it a few times throughout the episode. I don't know. For some reason, I didn't like it only because it was kind of judgmental.
Zoo? Circus?
I mean, there was only one tiger there, but no, but her, I mean,
oh, just, it's a two tiger minimum in a circus.
No, but I'm just saying like her calling a circus, it was kind of like she was acting like, oh, these people are so dumb. Like kind of like how they treated the Alexandria people. And it's like, okay, just because they're not sitting up here, you know, practicing karate or practicing ways of killing people, it doesn't mean that they're less than you. And that's that same thought process they went into with Alexandria people. I mean, I think we were even kind of judging, like, oh, look at these silly people. They're living normal lives. Like, they are human. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, that's what people do until they know better to have fear. So I guess seeing it the second time around.
I see what you're saying.
Her judging them like that. I'm like,
right.
Why is it circus? Like, why are you downing these people for just living life?
Well, that's not why it's a circus. I mean, she had a reason to say circus because she saw a tiger. I mean, if it was just King Ezekiel without the tiger, she'd probably say that this play. But she have a reason to say circus.
Okay.
But I do agree with you. They did the same thing in Alexandria. They didn't know anything about the zombie apocalypse. Well, they knew about it, but they didn't know about the instant threat.
Next is, why did Jerry save Ben, but then Ezekiel put him down? So when they were out there, it was before they met up with the saviors. You know, they're like, Ben, you go ahead and get this one. Ben couldn't get it. So Jerry saves Ben, but he doesn't actually put the walker fully down, because after he, like, knocks the walker down, Ezekiel goes and, like, kills it. I'm like, what is this?
Yo, that's king shit.
What is this? It's like teamwork to put one walker down?
I mean, Ezekiel, he's a king now. He said he had to put his own walker down.
I mean, he did.
Everybody know that.
He did the final blow.
Everybody know that. When you the king, yo, somebody had to lay your walker down for you nicely on the ground.
Ready for you.
Right. Then you just go with the master kill.
All right. The bullshit Ezekiel yelled at the walkers. Like, before they got in the car and he was like, we're just here. Like, whatever. I don't even know what he was saying to those walkers. But I was like, what the fuck? Like, dude, these are your people. Like, these are the closest people on your team. Why are you faking the funk right now with them? Like, and then faking it to the point where you're just spitting some weirdness at the walkers. Do you remember that scene?
I do. You already know I don't agree with you on that. I mean, the thing is, with that scene, is he's in character. He's no longer in character. He's been in character so long that it is him now.
Fake until he making it.
It's him. And by him saying that he's always been in plays or he did a couple of things for the community, that he's an actor. Or he was an actor. Now he is King Ezekiel. He's no longer an actor. So this is him. He's living life. He's yelling out. He's still living. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That's what's so beautiful about the kingdom to me. That they're still living. All this drama going. Because really, I would have never guessed that Negan had a lock on them also, the way he was living. Because, you know, he had his leg up, propped up, had a tiger by him. He's chilling, living life. So nowhere in my mind thought that Negan had this town right here on lock also. But like I said, that's what's so beautiful about the kingdom. And what's beautiful about King Ezekiel is that he's still living life to the fullest.
All right. If Ezekiel needs Ben to live, which is what he told Morgan, he's like, I need you to train him. I need him to live. Why are you bringing him outside the gates? And, like, why don't you just keep him in the house? I mean, like, keep him in the kingdom. Why bring him out? Especially if you know you're about to go meet Negan's people where anything can happen. Why did you bring him out there with you if you want this boy to live so badly? And then I guess I have a few comments on that as well. Like, hearing Ben say that his dad, you know, his dad was among 8 people that died, and Ezekiel got a little more stronger after that, or got a little more careful after that. I wonder if there's more to that story, since Ezekiel does feel such a closeness to Ben. Like, remember what happened with Deanna's son? Remember how we found out they left those people because they were scared?
Right.
So I wonder if there's more to it than that.
And Pastor Gabriel.
And then last on the list, of dislikes is, like, the savior taunting Richard for no reason, like, whatever he was saying.
Really, that wasn't I'm sorry, I can't say what's a dislike to you. But really, that's just the saviors. That wasn't a dislike to me.
Okay, you think that's just what they do?
That was just normal. We've seen it happen so many times already. We've seen a guy, you know, trap Daryl and them on the road and just start giving a speech for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is who they are. Actors. They're faking it till they make it. They were nobodies before the zombie apocalypse.
Right. Okay.
Like right now, Nicole and Gary, you know, we're podcasters. You know, when the zombie apocalypse happening, it don't tell us who it be.
Yeah, we might just be like, who knows? I don't know.
It's no telling.
Who knows who we'll be?
Yo, but we have options.
Yeah, we have options. We've been watching Walking Dead. We got some ideas here. I'll just be like a character from a movie and people won't know, you know, who I'm talking about or whatever. I'm like,
right.
My name's Michonne.
and that's what's going on with the Saviors. They were probably just guys from a group. I mean, you never know what they were doing before the zombie apocalypse. And now, you know, they're Negan Knights. They're the strongest people in The Walking Dead right now. You know, now they're characters. Now they can build themselves up. Say what they want to say. Do what they want to do now and antagonize. You never know. Somebody might have been antagonizing them before.
Right. Like Garrett and them, you know. They were a bully and then they became... I mean, they were a victim and then they became a bully.
Right.
All right. Well, that's it for our likes and dislikes. I'm sure we have a few more because actually while we were talking, I thought of a few things that we did not say, but now they've left my mind again. So maybe someone that wrote in will talk about it because there's a lot to talk about. All right. So if you guys would like to be a part of the podcast, you can always hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin, and we will discuss your feedback there. Also, facebook.com/verdictsin. So make sure you guys are following us on Twitter and Facebook if you are not already. We post everything there almost immediately.
And www.verdictsin.com.
Yes, theverdictsin.com, which is our website. You can leave comments there on all the podcasts. You can see all of our other podcasts that we've done in the past, as well as give a donation. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
Put it out there.
There is a spot where it says support, and under that support button, you can give us a donation, and that goes to keeping up all of our feeds. We have several feeds that we have for all of our different podcasts, and that's why we have the verdicts in for all the ones that don't have a feed, because it costs money every time you open up a new show, like a new feed. So that's what we use that money for. So yeah. We appreciate that if you want to go ahead and support us there. Or you can also support us on patreon.com/theverdictsin. And we have some things set up there. So try that out as well. All right. First on our list of emails today, on Twitter, we have a note from April Noel. And she wrote, after all the violence last week, it was nice to see a slow episode.
And she is correct. Last week was murder, murder, murder. Break, break, break. Yo, Negan did not only break Rick, he broke us also.
Yeah.
I was broken after the show.
I needed a break.
And how wet Nicole's face was, I understand. she was broken also.
No. And we have a Twitter message from David Valentin. He wrote, Negan is nothing more than a fuel lord. He fills the vacuum left by the governor. He keeps peace, forces communities to be productive, and they are cool with it as long as you play nice. Not knowing the size of their force or being smaller is what keeps him in power.
But yeah, I mean, he's right. First of all, thank you for writing in, David. No one knows the size of Negan's force, and that's the scary part. I mean, it could be just the people we've seen around. We don't know how many people are around. It could have been 25 people around him. That could have been it after Rick and the gang had cleared the... What would they clear? What was right there could be all that's left. We don't know. But he's absolutely right about Negan. And that's why we need to see Negan's backstory.
I agree. I would love to hear Negan's backstory. All right. We have an email from Jerry. And I love the subject line because it says, Jerry, addicted to your podcast.
Thank you, Jerry.
He said, let me start with this number one Walking Dead podcast. Oh, thank you.
Dope.
We appreciate that. Really, really do. You two are very entertaining with awesome personalities. Yes, my Carol is back. No more weak Carol. What I love about Carol, she's like an assassin ninja. You don't need anyone's help. Take care of herself. And that's what I don't like about Carol.
Really?
Yeah. That whole, I don't need anyone, I'm leaving, and just I'm leaving in the middle of the night, and don't come out and help me, Morgan. I don't know. I'm not feeling Carol. I'm personally not feeling. I'm like, show some gratitude. I mean, you don't have to show gratitude, but just, I don't know. Why is she leaving in the middle of the night? Well, I guess she told Morgan she was going to leave, but I don't know. I'm not feeling Carol with her keep creeping off, trying to live on her own type of thing. But, you know, to each their own.
That's what I love about Carol. I mean, Carol is a solo assassin. Just period. So, and I agree with him on that. Carol is like a combination of everything combined. She's an actress. She's an assassin. She has heart. Carol is a complete package. So I agree with him that she's back.
All right. And he continues, King Ezekiel, I like him, but again, weak. Not making plans. Yeah. Not making plans or training his group how to fight so they could stop getting bullied by the saviors. Yeah, I that's what I said. Think about the kingdom are like slaves, just with no chains, just with fear. And I think Richard kind of said that, because he's like, oh, we're free. And then Richard's like, well, halfway free. Like, you know, halfway. And then he continues, especially him being a black man, you figure he wouldn't let that go down like that. But maybe that's why he's glad Morgan is around and Carol just there to use their skills to help defeat the saviors. Well, at least I hope so. And I have a question. Will you do a podcast for the new 24? So wait, real quickly before we get into the 24 part, what do you think? Do you see them kind of as slaves? And do you think Morgan, that's why Ezekiel, well, we kind of talked about it. Does Ezekiel want Morgan and Carol around because he thinks they can help save him?
As far as them being slaves, we know they are, but no, I don't agree with that. I don't think that they think they're slaves or they are slaves to themselves. If we think about like the hilltop, Alexandria, before that, where was the governor?
Woodbury.
Now, these people, they lived in fear. They knew what was happening. Here at the kingdom, they don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're singing choir.
Right. They're in the dark, period.
The one lady, like, she was, like, 9 months pregnant. They're still doing school. We saw them doing school, like, in season one of The Walking Dead.
Right.
And I think that was, as I said, it was the last time. No, they did school in season four as well.
In the prison?
Mm-hmm.
Right. As far as the kingdom, they don't know they're slaves. They don't know the threat. They're in a safe haven, so they think. And that's really, to King Ezekiel, that's all that's important.
All right. And then as far as the podcast for the new 24, we were very big 24 podcast. Well, big 24 fans.
We are.
We still are.
Big 24
we
fans.
We watched all the seasons. I remember I started like on season three, and I think Tony just came back. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? And everyone started writing in, or wherever I was talking on forums at the time. And they're like, he's been there since the beginning.
And that's when we had to go back.
That's when we had to go. I'm like, oh, shit. Let me go back to season one and find out who this Tony guy is. And then we watched the reboot that came out like a year ago.
Right.
So I'm excited for the new one. And January, we'll have to see what's on air. I don't know if any of our shows are going to be on air at that time.
Most likely we will be doing 24. Most likely. But if there's a slight chance that... Well, 24 is the big show.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything else.
And there's not too many shows bigger than that. So, yes, we will be doing 24.
Yeah, and if we do, it'll be on our verdicts in feed.
Right.
And then the next things that he says, just like, it just brings tears to me. Because he says, I want to say thanks for what you do for us, giving us awesome entertainment to listen to. I hope one day I can get your autograph. Like, you're joking. I know he is. He's trying to clown us. And he said, when you called my name on the podcast, I have my little girl and wife to hear. Oh, so hey, all Jerry. Right. Hey, Jerry's wife. And hey, Jerry's little girl. Oh.
Yeah, sweet.
That is very, very sweet. Nice. It's too much, too much. All right. Thank you so much, Jerry. We appreciate it. Oh, yeah. And also, Jerry sent us a picture of him and his lovely wife. Thank you for that.
Oh, that's a beautiful couple.
And you can actually go and see me and Gary. Like, you can follow our regular Twitter feed or whatever.
Right.
Gary's is GQ Clark. And then mine is at, at Twitter.
Well, yeah.
It's at GQ Clark on Twitter. And then my personal one is at Nicole Clark 11 on Twitter. And really, I have my, you'll see how boring my life is. It's nothing but my TV shows I'm watching or whatever. Really, that's the only thing I tweet about.
Television.
Yeah, just watch this movie today. That's it.
We have kids.
Yeah, and then we might post something about the kids. I didn't post anything about the kids recently, but I'll post something about them occasionally as well.
Halloween.
Yeah, I didn't post any Halloween stuff though. I don't know why. Now, at this point, it's too late. It's like you got to do it within a 4-hour range. It's 24 hours now and later than Halloween, so it's too late to post those cute pictures. So, all right. Thank you so much for that, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
We have an email today from Yolanda. And yeah, Yolanda, we got your email twice because I said one time the email is host@theverdictson.com. Which is still a valid email.
Right.
It's just our blanket email that we use for the shows that don't have their own email. So, and it's also the email address that is on our website. So feel free to email whatever email address you have. We check them all before we start podcasting. I check the dead at the Verdicts Inn, but I also check all the other ones. So I did catch that you sent one as well to the host. So thank you. Hey, Nicole and Gary. I didn't know where to begin last week, but this week it's all about my girl, Carol. Her expression when she saw Ezekiel and Shiva was priceless. When Morgan wheeled her out, when Morgan wheeled her out of the room, she dropped her Polly Sunshine act and she was like, we got to get out of here. This place is a joke. Why are we still here? Am I the only one who wants to see Shiva eat someone?
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No,
you're not. Unless it's a say. Oh, Negan. Okay, just came to me. Game of Thrones. Reek died. Not Reek. Ramsay Bolton died. Sorry, spoiler alert. By getting eaten by his own dogs. I know the same thing
Do you think the king would get eaten by his own tiger?
No, but wouldn't that be so cool if... You know, if Negan got eaten by Shiva, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, but then at cool the same time,
Shiva eats somebody.
If Shiva gets a taste of blood, can he be stopped after that? You know, he might be like, have some good human blood. And you never know who he might eat next, even when he's in a good mood. Like, does that happen?
He's a wild tiger. He had blood before.
Oh, well, no. Has he ever had human blood, though?
Like, that's a difference.
Hey, I watch animal TV shows and on the Twilight movies.
What's the difference with he has zebra blood?
There's difference between animal blood and human blood, apparently, according to, you know...
Hyena blood? What's the difference?
According to Edward Cullen, you know, or Cullen, or whatever their names were on Twilight. But, anywho. All right. And I loved when Ezekiel dropped his Shakespeare talk and went black. You know what? Like, it's so funny that you said that, because when he's... stopped talking, whatever he was doing, and he started talking regular to Carol. I was like, oh, I prefer this voice much better. Like, than, you know, that theatrical voice. I was like, oh, I prefer him just talking, just, you know, just casual or whatever. It showed Carol he wasn't as crazy as she thought he was. Shoot, a man with a tiger, who wouldn't want to follow him? Think of the stories people make up. I'm glad we got his backstory, but it seemed to come a bit too soon. I definitely think Carol and Ezekiel are going to hook up. He changed his clothes and came with the sexy fruit and has Shiva to make sure they don't get interrupted.
Yolanda, you are absolutely correct. Well, not that girly stuff at the end. You know, the came with the fruit. But you are correct about, and I didn't think about this before, why did they come with the story so soon? His backstory. That should have been a couple of episodes down the road. They could have left us guessing a little longer. He could have been, he is the king, but he could have been the king a little longer.
I'm actually not mad about it because, like I said, at first watch, I absolutely loved him. I was like, oh, he's so extra, whatever, you know. And then second watch, I was like, I'm not really feeling this extra. And then when he told the truth and everything like that, I'm like, I rather know when I see him, even if he's being extra, I rather know that it's an act. Like, how we know Carol. Like, what if we really thought Carol was, you know, this little good girl, you know, whatever. But we know it's not her, so it makes it even better. And I feel that's going to be the same for us now with Ezekiel. Because, like, when he's talking, whatever he's talking, whether it's to walkers or to his own people, I feel like, he's playing the game. You know, I think I think we're going to enjoy that.
Okay.
And then she has I Ain't Fearing Shit goes to Carol. She sat in front of a tiger and didn't blink.
She actually wanted to laugh.
I would have smirk. Like, I would have been like, Morgan, roll me out of here right now. Like, what were you thinking? Because obviously, or she probably would have got up. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I would have been too scared. There's no fence in between us. Like, there's a little chain. And as Ezekiel said, he can get out of that chain anytime he wants to. And he was like, you know, growling at Carol. I would have been hella scared. So yeah, that was pretty brave of her. Most likely to die is Dwight. I'm ready for him to go, and he keeps taunting Daryl. P.S. The new Abraham. The new Abraham is Jerry. He threw up the two fingers. Do you think Sasha might fall for him? Well, I love your Walking Dead podcast. Till next week. Deuces, Yolanda. I love that.
Deuces, Yolanda.
Deuces. You know, it's so funny as far as the deuces, and I didn't even think of Abraham when he did it, but yeah, like every time. Was I listening to another Walking Dead podcast or I was reading forum? But I know everyone kept saying that, hey, they kept calling the deuces. They're like, oh, the peace sign. And I'm like, no one's using the word deuces. And then now in this case, Jerry actually uses the word deuces. So I like that.
Right. Because that's what we call it. We call it deuces. Yeah. The deuce sign. And but I say we I mean, you know.
People of color.
Right, because that's what we call it. We call it the deuce sign. You know, and every other, you know, when I listen to other podcasts or read other things, everybody say, yeah, he threw the peace sign. What the fuck is that?
Right.
You know, to us, it's just he threw the deuce sign. I mean, we know it means peace. We know whatever, but he threw the deuces.
I agree. And then our last email today is from Diane, and she wrote, hi, Nicole and Gary.
Hi, Diane.
I still cannot talk about episode one, and I will never watch it again. No, I felt you on that. I really do feel her on that. Because remember, right, when we watched it the second time, take our notes, like some parts, I was like, I had to turn away.
It was if it's not just as sad, it was sadder the second time.
And they were playing it at Walker Stalker Con. And I'm like, for crying out loud, there are kids here. Like, I had to cover the kids. I was like, there are kids here. Like, I didn't know this episode was going to be playing.
Right.
And our daughter's like, it's okay. I'm like, no, no, no. It's not okay. Like, you don't know what's about to go down in this episode. Right. So, yeah. All right. She wrote, it was way too much for me. On to episode two. Carol and Morgan are two of the best characters on the show.
Exactly.
Here are the some.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Here are some of the highlights for me. One, Morgan and Carol on the way to meet King Ezekiel, or actually she has King E. I like that little nickname there.
Okay.
The back and forth between the two was perfect. They just play off each other so well. I did like that too. She's like, where are we? The kingdom. What's his name? The king. She's like, what's his name? The king. No, King Ezekiel. It was funny them going back and forth, you know, right, why he's pushing her. Two, Carol's expression when she meets King E. She just could not process what she was seeing. Too funny.
It was. That's what we were talking about. She's in front of the tiger. It's like she wanted to laugh. She had a little smirk on her face.
Yeah. Three, Morgan and Ben at dinner and at the Bo's staff lesson. We see Morgan is beginning to change direction a bit. All life may not be precious. Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's what I was saying. That's when he said, you know, people can change their minds or whatever. I don't think he's just going to be like a, you know, killer now, but he's going to do what he has to do.
You're not going to be Killer Morgan.
Yeah. You're not going to be like Killer Chris on Fear. He's not going to be Killer Morgan. I will say, and I think we kind of take it a little too lightly as far as, like, how hard it is to kill someone. You know, I think Chad Coleman, Tyrese, he talked about this on The Talking Dead a few years ago when everyone was like, dude, why can't you kill? And he's like, you guys act like killing just something people do on a daily basis.
Right, it's something,
you know,
natural.
It's not natural. Even if you kill someone once or whatever, it doesn't mean, like, oh, I could just kill any time. Like, I can't imagine killing anybody. So to do that over and over again, and you have to do that to survive, it has to be traumatizing And it has to be a very big decision that you're going to have to make if you decide that's what you're going to do.
Right.
And then number four, Carol Morgan on horseback. I love them joking with each other. I think Carol is coming back to us and Morgan will make sure she is safe, but from a distance. Well, that is it for now. I can't wait to see more of the kingdom, Diane and Marilyn.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. Yeah, I look forward to seeing the kingdom as well.
I'm like I said, I'm loving the kingdom.
Alexandria people may just want to go there, but I'm sure Negan's watching them and he probably doesn't want different towns talking to one another.
Yeah, he don't want them coming together. He don't want them getting together and kind of sharing the responsibility. Like, okay, you know, since he's taking from you, he's taking from me. Let's get together and I'll go get half and you get half. No, Negan wants the whole thing from each individual town.
I don't think that would be the point of it because I think he would just say, okay, you guys are all together. You know, give me double. I think it's more of if they were all together, they would start getting more ideas. They're better. They're more dangerous in numbers. You know, okay, now there's two of now are two of our towns. Let's come together. Let's get the hilltop. Now there's three of our towns. We can actually fight this jerk. So something, I think that's what he means is, I think that's what she means as far as like, if they were all to come together or whatever and join forces, they would be a bigger threat.
Right. Okay.
And thank you so much for Diane for writing in.
Thank you, Diane.
Appreciate that. And now on to our warden prediction. I ain't fearing shit. Gary, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
I'm going to have to give the I ain't fearing shit to Richard because Richard is not having that shit. When the guy was telling him, you better be lucky, this is all we want, Richard had to get in his ass because he's like, hold up, you're the lucky ones because you're lucky we're not doing this already.
Right.
So Richard is not fearing anything anytime. And plus, he's giving them that tainted meat.
Yeah. He's giving them the big fuck you. Big fuck you.
The biggest fuck you. Like, okay, yeah, you can have these pigs, but you don't know what these pigs had. You know, pigs eat slop and this, that, but I don't think the pigs are ready to affect it.
I would love to see if next week or maybe the following week, we will see if them eating tainted meat affects them.
Right. We need to know the rules to this. But remember last season, I said they need a rule book. They need to hand out, you know, just go to everybody's job, go to schools, hand out a zombie rule book. That way, just in case the zombie apocalypse ever happened, we already know the rules.
Right. I mean, it's the rules have definitely changed. I mean, because even like during Walker Stalker Con all weekend and just on display, they had that little girl from the first episode, you know, with her robe on and she was holding the bear, her little teddy bear, and she had her slippers right on. And it's like the walkers, you know, the producer that did the season one or whoever the showrunner, he didn't do the other seasons. So the walkers have changed, which is why right walkers today, like we're trained to see the walkers as they are now because that was only one season where they were able to turn door handles. But
yeah, it was only one season where they were going to ring your doorbell, they were ringing doorbells. Knock on your door.
Morgan's wife was like,
when you say who is it, they were like, it's me.
It's me. But like now I think if we would have seen a walker like actually physically holding something in their hand, not like food, you know, not like dead meat.
Right.
Eating it. But like if they were like holding a gun.
If they were
doing
some like everyday real life stuff, that'd be kind of strange.
That would be kind of strange, definitely.
You see a walker just driving. They better not ever show that.
Never.
Driver got like, I gotta get to work too.
All right.
I got things to do.
I ain't fearing shit for me. I'm actually going to give it to the king. I'm going to give it to King Ezekiel.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Why?
You really have to. I don't care if you're a freaking ex-zookeeper or whatever. You have a tiger on a leash. Oh, not even a leash. It's like a little chain. It's like less.
A little chain.
I mean, the chain.
It's a little chain.
Wasn't even bigger than the chain that Michonne had her walkers on when she first was introduced.
Okay.
I just think he's not fearing shit. It takes a lot to lead people, also to keep that secret from people. It's almost like he's holding it in, like rather than letting them fear, he's keeping all that fear in for him and those five or six people that are with him. And to me, that takes a lot. It's like all these people's lives are in your hand and they're depending on you. And if Negan does eventually come and kill you guys or try to kill you guys, like, that's a lot of people that their life is in your hands. And I don't know, for him to be able to, like, kind of make jokes and just seem like he's taking it easy, he's clearly not fearing shit. And if he's not fearing shit, he's faking it till he makes it to not fearing shit.
All right, that's a good one.
Most likely to die?
That's a tough one. And the only reason I say that, because we don't know what storyline is next.
I believe.
But I'm going to go back to the Negan Knights and where they're at, where Daryl's at. I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon for anybody to die. After the first episode, they got to give us at least 3 episodes before we can see a murder, a death.
Yeah. I mean,
the only thing they could kill now is a zombie. Because if they kill anything, it's like, it's too soon. I'm still emotional.
Like, right.
Like, curl up in a ball or something.
Even though last week on our last week's podcast, we did say, like, oh, they're probably going to kill Daryl. This is now, the perfect time where our guard's down.
Yeah, I do see Daryl, but it's still too soon. I don't think it's going to happen next season. I mean, not next season, but next episode. But I'm going to say the most likely to die is Walker number 5 or something. Just extra number 5. They're going to bring a Walker in just to die. I don't think they're going to kill a person, per se. But let's say they do. I still have to go with Daryl.
All right. My most likely to die for next week's episode is Negan. It's obvious he's not built for this world.
We're not saying who you want to die. We said most likely.
He's not meant for this world. No, I'm just joking. All right. So most likely die for next week. Since they did show us Daryl, I think that's like really all they showed us. Like Daryl real quick in the trailer. I don't know.
Right.
I kind of want to say Daryl, but I'm kind of now leaning to with you. Like, I don't think they're going to kill. If they do kill Daryl, I don't think they're going to do it this soon. That's what they'll do, like, mid-season. That's, you know, The Walking Dead has a formula. We got to
kind of make sense of the deaths.
No, well, they have their formula. We got to stick to their formula. You die mid-season. You only die within 3 episodes. Well, no, I'm lying here because, you know, Tyrese died, like, just randomly, like, in 1 episode. It was, like, weird. It was, like,
Bob died randomly.
Didn't Beth just die? Right. Yeah, and then it was like Tyrese died. It was weird.
I mean, people die every episode, but I think it's too soon from the last death.
Well, I'm going to say that one of the Negan Knights are most likely to die. It might be Simon, his right-hand man, but that's a little too strong, too. But I'm going to say that Daryl's probably going to get loose or whatever the case may be, and he'll probably kill at least one of the Negan Knights. It might not be one we know. Not even gonna go say it's Dwight. It's probably not Dwight. It's probably not Simon. Definitely not Negan. But one of the Negan Knights are gonna die, and that's my theory.
We're not saying nothing. We're not saying who's gonna die.
A whole bunch of nothing.
We said a whole bunch of nothing just now. Well, I'm just stick with maybe Daryl, and it's still nothing. I said maybe.
All right, you guys, that completes our recap. We do appreciate you listening.
Yeah,
we will be back Sunday with our instant cast. In the meantime, you can also check out our Walker Stalker Con
review.
We did a podcast on that, on what our thoughts were on the con, on the conviction.
On the overall.
It's a conviction. Is it conviction?
Convention.
Convention. Convention. And actually, I think con is a great, like, short term for it. Like, it's a con. No, just joking. No, it was good. It was fun. So listen to our podcast for that. It is on the same feed here, so it probably is already up there because I put it up earlier. So check that out, and we will be back Sunday. We always appreciate you listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.